Monday, March 24th, 1986. The preacher is Dr. Harley Kapitsky. The sermon text is Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The sermon theme is the God for all peoples.
Grace, mercy, peace are yours from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God we consider this morning, Romans 3, 19 to 30. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. This is our text. In Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed, having entered this most holy week, one feels, yes, one knows that the arresting command given Moses by the Lord as he revealed himself in the burning bush, at Moses' calling to be his spokesman, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I say we feel, we know, as we enter this holy week, that that command applies even more so to what has been revealed, to what has been set forth before the world on these most holy days. Namely, that God is the God for all peoples. That he would have his message proclaimed to all peoples. That this sacrifice was indeed made for all peoples. The gratia universalis thrust of our mission emphasis days well agrees and fits together with the great events of this holy week. And we pray the Spirit of God attend and bless our meditation as we would have impressed upon us anew that God is not the God of the Jews only, not the God of his people only, but of all. How does this text establish that? It says nothing about one God having created us. It says nothing about his having made of one blood all nations for to dwell on the face of the earth. Nothing about his providential care of all. No, it goes beyond that. It goes far deeper. It goes directly to the heart of the matter, showing why it is that man so desperately needs God for him, showing God's answer, his meeting of that great, that desperate need, showing how he did this and why he did this, and finally bringing the grand conclusion and application of it all. For openers, then, God is indeed for all because of the desperate need of all. Paul has earlier in this chapter and in foregoing chapters established both Jew and Gentile to be under sin, not a single one among them righteousness. And here he repeats it, that all are under the law and all are condemned by the law, that no one can plead innocence, that no one can claim to be righteous. Every mouth has been stopped. The whole world is guilty. All peoples are guilty before God. But you know, the situation is bleaker still. It is far more desperate, this need of man, by virtue of the fact that by deeds of law, no flesh, not a single person, can be justified in the sight of God, and law is all they have. By the law comes the knowledge of sin, not the knowledge of salvation. If a law could have been given that could have given life, then verily, says this same Paul in another place, righteousness would be by the law. But for all people, all alike, descendants of Adam, whose image, whose likeness we bear, keeping the law is impossible. So the condition is one of lostness and of hopelessness. But now. And the now is not a temporal now, it is rather one of divine, of sublime response. Although this is the situation of all by birth, by nature, the righteousness of God, without, apart, and totally distinct from any and all works of law, has been revealed. What an astounding revelation. Righteousness of God, from God, having nothing to do with man's doing, being only God's doing. And this righteousness is not new in point of time, for it has been witnessed to throughout the Pentateuch and by the psalmists and the prophets of old and throughout the entire Old Testament. It is the faith-obtained righteousness. It is the righteousness earned by Christ and presented to the Father, which he imputes to men by faith. Has imputed, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Does impute, will impute. Paul makes a special point of the fact that this is so, that this is necessary, because there is no difference between men. All alike have sinned. All alike have fallen short of the glory of God, and all alike are justified, are declared, are pronounced holy, righteous, forgiven. He died for all. Being enemies, all being enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. All are acceptable in his sight freely, gratis, as a gift, dorian, through the redemption, through the ransom payment made by Christ Jesus. God's answer to all people's desperate need, lost and hopeless condition, then, is the gift of undeserved righteousness from him. It is righteousness established for all, righteousness to be proclaimed to all in the gospel, proclaimed in order that faith in it might thereby be created and sustained. How come? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that which effects subjective justification. For in it, this righteousness from God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, he who is just by faith shall live. So salvation is by the faith obtained righteousness only. How did God establish this righteousness for all, and why? These are the next points of the Pauline argument for God being the God for all peoples. This Christ Jesus, it says, God the Father did set forth. He did solemnly present and publicly offer by his bloody sacrifice on Calvary a propitiation, a hilasterion, a mercy seat. Christ himself is that seat. With the shedding of his innocent atoning blood on the real and only Day of Atonement has covered our sin from divine wrath and punishment. God, therefore, is just and is revealed as being just in that no sin has gone unpunished, and he is just also in being the justifier of him who has been brought to faith in Jesus. For he made him to be sin for us, that we might justly be made the righteousness of God in him. Thereby he has shut out all boasting. Thereby he that would glory must glory in the Lord. No one has anything that wasn't given him, least of all righteousness. How? Through what principle? Answer, the principle of faith. For the faith, you see, which apprehends the Christ-wrought righteousness is itself according to the working of his mighty power. Unto you it is given to believe in him. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father. Paul's grand conclusion, therefore we conclude that a man, any man, is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This sums it up, and this is where most people stop. However, it's only part A of the conclusion, and we hasten to add and to stress part B. Should anyone think that God is the God of the Jews only or of Christians only and get uncomfortable with or take exception to Paul saying, a man, any man, whoever he might be, of whatever race or culture or whatever, the apostle assures that objector that God is indeed the God of the Gentiles also. He is the God of the nations. He is the God of the peoples. And Paul even expands and extends part B by arguing on the basis of God's oneness that there therefore is and can only be one way of salvation, one way for all, and one means whereby that salvation is apprehended. It reads, he will justify the circumcision ek pisteus and the uncircumcision dia pisteus. We shouldn't get here so attracted to the prepositions that we fail to see that it is all peoples, all nations that are in focus, that they all and we with them are being directed to the one way of salvation ordained by the one and only God for all. No one comes to the Father but by this Christ. But how are they to come if they haven't heard of him? Do you know that only 13% of the world's population is Anglo? And do you know that most of the work of our church is concentrated on Anglo peoples? What of the 87% of the world's population? Some 93% of the unevangelized are non-Anglo. We need a mission orientation which takes that very seriously. And what about these prepositions? Doesn't Eck view faith as source and Dia view it as means? And Lenski says, yes, and then he begs the question with a very blurred comment. Source, however, he says, does not lack the concept of means, and neither does means lack the concept of source. Actually, whether faith is viewed as source or as means of justification, it can only be either because its object is Christ or the forgiveness or the righteousness won by him. Faith has no value of its own to add to the merit of Christ. It apprehends no matter what preposition you use with it. Well, having reviewed why it is we say God is the God for all peoples, and having seen Paul argue it's not from creation, neither from his provision for men's bodily needs, but on the basis of his answer to all peoples' greatest and most desperate need, where does that leave us? It leaves us with renewed thankfulness to him for being our ransom, for being our mercy seat, for being our righteousness. But more than that, more especially it leaves us with a fuller realization of and commitment to our world mission responsibility, yea, privilege, with a fuller realization of and commitment to the place of mission in ministry. Outreach, with a fuller realization and commitment to that indeed. Comforted and empowered then by Christ's full payment of the world's ransom, not ours only. Comforted and empowered with the assurance of his bloody sacrifice covering the world's sin, not ours only. We are newly rededicated to the proclamation of the gospel of the righteousness from him to all peoples. To all peoples. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all power of human thought, to grant peace, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.